Well, I was thinking about what Curtis was saying earlier, and Sunday, this past Sunday, was old-fashioned Sunday. We didn't even know it, did we? It was back like the old days. We pulled out the old hymn books, and it was a good day. I'm thankful for those songs that we just sang. And you know, tonight we're going to be looking at the topic of finding your contentment in Christ. And I mean, you sing those songs, we should have contentment in Christ. You think about it. I mean, it is well with my soul, and great is thy faithfulness. I'd rather have Jesus. You know, we should have contentment in Christ. Amen. Tonight we're going to return to 1 Corinthians, our series in 1 Corinthians, and it's been 4 months. Where did the time go? Exactly 4 months. I was looking at the last message. It was May 24th or something like that, so it's been about exactly 4 months break from 1 Corinthians, and so we're going to be looking at chapter 7, verses 17 through 24 tonight. With the topic of finding your contentment in Christ. Now, just briefly, I want to say that our series theme is living as the Lord's church. And let's not forget, we are the Lord's church. And we belong to Him. And He belongs to us. He bought us with the price, His own precious blood. You know, in chapter 6, verse 20, talked about that. And our purpose as a church is to live for His glory. And so let's not forget that. But we're going to read our text tonight in chapter 7, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. We'll read through verse 24. It says, But as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. If thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we contemplate finding our contentment in Christ. We thank you, Father, that your faithfulness is truly great. It's new every morning. I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, that we can experience your faithfulness and your mercy every day. And Lord, I pray that as we contemplate what we have in Christ, Lord, that it would lead to contentment in our souls. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask the question tonight, what is contentment? I want you to think about that for just a minute. What is contentment? I'm going to give you Webster's Dictionary. Says it's a resting or satisfaction of mind. So the idea of your mind being at rest or being satisfied. And it goes on, without restlessness or uneasiness. Having a mind at peace. And so that's what the Webster's defines it as. And we could probably give different takes on that, but basically it's when your mind is at peace, you're not anxious, you're not restless, you're not uneasy, you're satisfied. You're satisfied. You know, I was reading some just a little bit of articles about contentment today and psychology today, and I know this is not scripture, but I want you to listen to what psychology today says, that contentment depends on perceived self-worth at the moment. And I don't endorse that, but I it's connected to the message. I wanted to share that. You know, talking about what contentment depends on in the world's eyes and the world's view, and in a lot of Christians, their contentment is based on their self-worth at the moment. And we're going to come back to that. Others will say that contentment is based on fleeting things like achievement. They're content when they're achieving things, but when they're not achieving things, they're not content. Approval of others, success, social status, and things like that. A lot of people, their contentment depends on fleeting things, things that come and go. And so that's the reason why we're looking at finding our contentment in Christ tonight. Because of this ideology out there today, there's more discontentment and anxiety than ever before. I started looking up anxiety as well, and it's just blown out of proportion in America today. Anxiety is, you know, we all experience anxiety of some sort, but anxiety disorders is when it's extended anxiety that just goes on and on and on. Remember, that's that restlessness, that's that uneasiness in the soul. So it's when you're anxious and full of anxiety, you're not content. And so it is related. And one pastor, he wrote that we live in an anxiety-intoxicated culture. So much anxiety. I mean, just read the news or listening to the news, it's easy to get anxiety, isn't it? Watch ads, look at Facebook, it's easy to get discontent. And by the way, social media has only served to increase this epidemic among both believers and non-believers, to be discontent, to be full of anxiety. And so those things we need to watch and control. We do have control over how much time we spend in social media. We can control that. We can even not be on it at all if we choose. And so we can choose to have contentment in Christ. You know, I want to just say this, that as followers in Christ, or followers of Christ, we should be the most content and satisfied people on this earth. I mean, when people look at true followers of Christ, they should see people that are content. People that are satisfied, not people that are full of anxiety and uneasiness and restlessness. And I'm not saying there's not going to be times that we have anxiety, but I'm just saying that generally speaking, we should be content and satisfied. If we're to live as the Lord's church, we need to show that in our testimony, in our lifestyle, that we are content, that I would rather have Jesus, that He is my portion, He is my contentment. There's a verse that came to me this past week, and it's Psalm 73:25, and it says this. David said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." I want you to think about that last phrase. There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. That's what David said. Now, if you read Psalm 73, it's an interesting psalm. I mean, it starts out, his foot almost slipped and all this, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But he comes to the conclusion, finally, that he realized that, you know, there's no one he desires on this earth more than the Lord. And that should be our heart's desire. Now, as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you're probably thinking, where do we get contentment in this passage? Where do we get this thought? Well, I want you to think about the overall context of chapter 7. And these Corinthians were writing Paul and asking questions. You know, chapter 7, verse 1 starts out, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me." You see, they wrote to Paul. They had questions. They had questions about sex. They had questions about marriage. They had questions about divorce. They had questions about single life. We looked in our last message at some of that. But that's the questions they were asking. You think about those kind of issues and questions can cause a lot of anxiety and discontentment. And Paul is simply, in answering this, I believe that he's implying that we should not be anxious about whether we're married, single, divorced. We should not be worried about our ethnic or social status, but rather we should find contentment in Christ. It's not to be found in having the perfect marriage. You know, here's our problem today. Our problem is this. We look for contentment horizontally. That's where we look for contentment. We look for it in things, possessions, careers, achievements, what people around us are saying about us. We look for it in our spouse. I cannot put that burden on my wife that she's responsible for me to be content. That's not her responsibility. I can't find contentment horizontally. We have to go vertically. We have to find it from the Lord Himself. I mean, after all, we belong to Christ by redemption. And He has put us where we are in this life. Now, we're going to look at three things tonight, or three areas in which we should find contentment in Christ. And I'm going to kind of break down some of this passage for you as we look at these three areas. The first is this: be content in your calling in Christ. Be content in your calling in Christ. Or we could say from Christ, the calling that we've received from Christ. I want to read verse 17 again. He said, "But as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches." You know, one word that pops up, I don't know if you noticed when we read the passage, there's one word that keeps popping up almost every verse. It's the verb called. It's found eight times in eight verses, the word called. Then you have the noun calling found once in these eight verses. Now, I want to just explain the difference between the verb and the noun form. The verb called, which is used eight times in these verses, it's used in verse 17, as we just read, and many other of these verses. I circled all of them in my Bible. But what the verb primarily speaks of is our call to salvation. That Christ, when He called us, He called us to Himself. He called us to come into His presence. He called us to come to Him for salvation. And that's a term that's one of Paul's favorite terms for a Christian. The called. Let me give you an example of Romans 8:28. How many times do we quote Romans 8:28? But we know that all things work together for good for them that are the called. What does he mean, those that are the called, according to his purpose? He's talking about those that Christ called personally, individually, for salvation. And you answer that call, you come to Christ, you are now the called. Now notice it's past tense. The called is a past tense verb. And get this, it's found in perfect. It's found in the perfect tense and our perfect mood. And now I want to just explain in the Greek New Testament that perfect tense speaks of an action completed in the past once and for all, not needing to be repeated. And the reason is because the results of that action continue on into the present. And so the perfect tense, it's like, okay, this, I was called by Christ back in the past. I can go back to 1980. That's when Christ called me. And I respond, I came to Him. I came into His presence in humility, repentance, faith, received Him as my Savior. That was a past event. And it doesn't have to be repeated. Amen? I don't have to do that again. I don't have to get saved again It's not something that has to be repeated. It's once and for all. And the results of that decision to come to Christ all those years ago still abides to this day and will continue to abide until Christ comes. That's the perfect tense. And when I was in Greek class in Bible college, the professor would put it on the board, perfect tense, as a dot, and then there's a line with an arrow. That's the perfect tense. That's how you describe the action of perfect tense. A definite point in time that took place in the past, and it's an arrow going on a linear line that it continues. The results of that continues on. So our salvation is something that took place when we were called by Jesus and we came to Jesus, and we're still saved today, right? We're still the called. And so he calls us by that term, the called. And he's referring to our salvation and our personal relationship that we have in Christ when he uses the verb form. But now, if you'll notice in verse 20, where it says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. The word calling is a noun. It's a noun form of the word call. And calling refers to our assignment that was given to us by God or by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our calling. It's an assignment. And it's important you understand that, because the point is, be content in your calling in Christ. That's the point we're looking at. You have been called by Christ to salvation. But did you know that the moment that he saved you, even before that, but I'll just say, from the moment that he saved you, that he had a purpose and plan for your life? He had a calling for you. He had an assignment for you to fulfill from now until you go and be with Jesus, whether it's in the rapture or when you die. Now, going back to verse 17, notice it says, but as God had distributed to every man. This is the same idea. He's distributed what? Assignments to every one of us. And the word distributed means to divide out shares. And so he's given each one of us assignments. He said, as the Lord had called every one, so let him walk. What's he saying? Let us live in our calling. Let us walk in our calling that God has given to us. And this calling has been sovereignly determined by our Lord. Now, I want to just say that a lot of Christians, they feel like that when they get saved, they feel like that when we use the word calling, that they only apply it to full-time service. Like, I've been called to preach, or I've been called to be a pastor, I've been called to be a pastor's wife, or I've been called to be a youth pastor, I've been called to be a missionary to Africa. We tend to limit this calling to full-time service or full-time ministry. But I want you to understand that God has a calling for all of us. Every single one. He has assignments for all of us. And it's not going to involve for everyone full-time service. God wants people. He wants godly employees working in their workplaces to be a light, to be a witness. He has an assignment for you. Wherever you're working at, it's not just so you can make money. It's not just so you can buy groceries and pay for your gas and your rent or your mortgage or whatever. That's not why you have a job. God's giving you that job. Yeah, he uses the job to provide those needs, but your main purpose is to serve Christ. You are called. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price, remember? He said in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're to glorify God in our body and spirit, which are his, and we belong to him. And so we have a calling, and that calling, it could be that he wants you to be a mother. That's your calling. You know, my wife pretty much all of her life until we came here, pretty much. I mean, she was a at-home mom. Now, when we were in Bible college, she worked. She was a beautician and hairdresser, and she had her still has her license for that. But when we started the ministry, she stayed at home, and she took care of me. She took care of the kids. She homeschooled the kids. That was her calling, and it was an important calling. Important calling. And, you know, God wants some to be Christian fathers. And, I mean, we can go on. There's every area, every job, every vocation, God wants people. He wants His people to be in different places to accomplish His purposes, to be a light, to be a witness. And so the point that Paul is telling these church members, these were not all pastors. These were just common church members in this church. And he's saying, God has distributed to every man, not just to pastors, missionaries, and evangelists, but every man, every woman. And as the Lord had called everyone, so let him walk. And so I want you to understand that God has an individual plan and purpose for each of us, and we need to rest in that. Be at peace with it. Whatever it is that God calls us to do, it could be a lowly job. Later we're going to see some of these people were slaves. They were to be content in that. I mean, you should rejoice. I mean, at least you're not a slave, right, in the Roman Empire. The principle we're looking at here in verse 17 is this, that everyone that's been called by Christ should joyfully live out the assignment the Lord has given. Be content in your calling in Christ. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are not content in their calling. They're like, well, I wish I could be this. I wish I could be that. Well, whatever God has called you to do, the assignment He's given you, be content. Be content in that. It could be some of our ladies here are widows. So we have four or five widows or more that's here tonight. And, you know, that's not an easy task. That's not an easy assignment to be a widow. But it's your calling right now. I'm just using that as an example. So let's go to number two. Be content in your identity in Christ. Be content in your identity in Christ. And in verses 18 through 22, Paul's going to expand on this previous point here in verse 17. And he starts giving some illustrations of some religious and social distinctions. And let's look at it. Verse 18, he said, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So circumcision is a religious ordinance of the Old Testament, right? Every Jew was to be circumcised. That was the law. That was what the law of Moses said. So basically we could say this. If you got saved as a Jew, don't try to become a Gentile. You're a Jew. God called you in circumcision. If you are uncircumcised, that would refer to a Gentile, and you're called, there's no need for you to get circumcised. Become a Jew. There's no need for that. Because he says in the next verse, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandment of God. Following what God's called us and commanded us to do, that's what's important. It's not becoming a Jew or a Gentile. It's not trying to live up some religious expectation that people have of us. It's following our calling in Christ. That's what's important. In verse 20, notice he says that, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. This is almost a repeat of what he said in verse 17. Just in a little bit different words, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So what God, whatever assignment he's given to you, abide in that. But now he's moving to these distinctions and whatever God's called you, and you abide in that calling. As if you're a Jew, be a missionary to the Jews. You know, be a light to the Jews. And if you're a Gentile, you know, be a light as a Gentile. And I want you to look just real quick over in Galatians. It's just not too far over to your right in your Bible. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." Notice this, "but a new creature," or a new creation in Christ. So he says that what's important is being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now we're talking in this point about our identity, being content in our identity. When you get saved, when you come to Christ, there's something that changes. Right? I mean, you pass from darkness to light. Yes, you translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Yes. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Yes. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a new identity. So then, those distinctions that you had before, they're really not as important. What's important is you're in Christ. And so the next illustration I want you to notice that he uses, that of a slave or a free man. In our Bible, it's translated servant. So let's read it, verse 21. "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." So he's talking about if you got saved as a slave, he says, I want you to notice that, when he says care not for it, what that means is don't be anxious about it. Brother Curtis, if you'd send me that again, I didn't know that was you sending something. I keep getting, were you sending me something? Okay, all right. I saw something come up with sharing password, and it said with Curtis Bishop, so, okay. Because he is operating the slides. Okay, so I'm just making sure. All right, so when it says care not for it, it has the idea don't be anxious about it. Don't be overly concerned about it. If that's your calling, live for Christ. Live for your master in heaven. Be a testimony. Be an example. You know, he says, "But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." So he's saying if you get an opportunity to become a free man, then Paul's encouraging that, you know. But the point is, your identity is not in whether you're a slave or whether you're a free person. Your identity now is you're in Christ. You're a new creature. You know, in the first century, to be a slave was pretty rough. I mean, slavery is horrible at whatever time that it was practiced. It's a horrible evil. And some were born slaves. Some were sold themselves into slavery. Others were captured in war and made slaves. But you know, when I read about the Roman Empire, the slaves in the Roman Empire, not all slaves had such a bad life. I mean, some were doctors. Some were teachers, shopkeepers, cooks, musicians. And they could even own slaves themselves. I found that interesting. However, slaves had no rights, really, because they had a master over them. And they could be mistreated and abused as such. But Paul is basically saying, don't allow your calling or your condition to consume you. Let Christ be your all-consuming passion. You're the Lord's free man. Free to serve your master with joy. Because notice that in verse 22, he that is called in the Lord, being a servant or a slave, is the Lord's free man. Think about that. That's your identity. You're the Lord's. You're free in Christ. Yeah, you may be a slave on this earth, but you're free in Christ. He said, likewise, he that is called being free is Christ's servant or Christ's slave. Amen. See, isn't it interesting? He says, those that were even free, he said, you're a slave. You're Christ's slave. You belong to him. He's your master. Serve your master with joy. So the principle in this point is this, that find contentment in your identity in Christ, not in your social status. You know, if we were to put this into our modern terms, we would say, well, you know, don't find your identity in your career. Don't find your identity in what you do. You know, Tim has been teaching the teens this for several weeks, you know, because we've got identity crisis today among youth. They don't know who they are. And they're looking at horizontally to find their identity, and they're down and they're discouraged and they're depressed and they're anxious and they're not content. Why? Because they're missing the point. The point is, if you're in Christ, that Christ is now giving you a new identity. You belong to him. You're a child of God. You're chosen. You're blessed. You're called. I mean, you can go through Ephesians 1. You can look at all those things. It talks about the riches that we have in Christ as believers. Wow. We should find the contentment in that. And not be enslaved to the opinions of other people. I mean, I shouldn't be a slave to what Joseph thinks about me. Joseph may think something about me and say, well, you're not all that good of a preacher, you know, and, you know, you're funny, but, yeah, but you're just, you know. But I don't get my identity in what Joseph says or what anybody says. I mean, I don't get my identity in how big my church is or how small my church is or how much success I have. That's when I was young, yes. When I was a young preacher, I was looking at all those things and I was miserable, most discontent preacher, just like a lot of preachers are, living in anxiety and depression. And why do you think so many pastors are getting out of the ministry? Missionaries are coming off the field because their identity is found in things that they're doing rather than vertically in who they are in Christ. So I am who I am in Christ, and all I have to do is... What do you say? The commandment of God? Keeping the commandment of God? All I need to do is be focused on, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? And I'm going to do it with the best of the ability that he gave me. And it may not be the ability that, say, Jason Gaddis has at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, but I do it with my ability that God gave me, and I'm happy with that, and I'm content with that, because I belong to Jesus. That's what counts. And so, find your identity, your value, your worth in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we think that if our circumstances change or our social status change, we'd be more content. But it never happens that way. It never happens. Let's look at the last point, third point. Be content in your relationship with Christ. We're going to look at these last two verses at this point. Be content in your relationship with Christ. And he's going to bring this topic to a climax in these two verses. In verse 23, he is quoting chapter 6, verse 20. Now let's go back to chapter 6, verse 20 real quick. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so look what he says in verse 23. You're bought with a price. See, he's repeating what he said. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. He's reminding us we're not our own. We belong to Jesus. And if you just stop and think about who Jesus is, I'm glad I belong to Him and not to Satan. I really thank God for that. I'd much rather belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords than to the God of this world, Satan. I'm thankful because Jesus, the Father's given Him all power, all authority. He's going to judge all things in the end times. He's preparing a place for me. I'm glad I belong to Him. I mean, we're rich. I mean, I like that last song. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Him than be a king. Than have all the things in this world. I'd rather have Jesus. Do you realize that we've entered into a most precious relationship when we trusted Christ? When we answered that call of Christ to come to Him, we were bought with a price. We are now servants of Christ. I mean, that's an amazing thing to think about. We have a wonderful relationship now with our Creator and our Savior. I mean, Jesus created all things. All things are made by Him. There's not nothing made. It was not made by Him. John tells us that in the first chapter of his gospel. I mean, he made it all. He made you. He made me. He spoke and it was. That's who I belong to. And we walk around as if we're a pauper and don't have nothing and don't have enough and we want more so we can be happy. What do you mean? You already have everything. You have Jesus. I mean, you have it all. He's ever present with us. And so He tells us, be not ye the servants of men. Don't be slaves to people. That's where your discontentment comes. Slaves to their opinions, to their thoughts. You know, it's sad that, you know, I mentioned social media. It's sad that you hear stories like this all the time. Young girls, because somebody would say something bad about them, I mean, really dirty on social media, and they commit suicide. I mean, it happens all the time. If you read news, that happens all the time. They're servants to people, to what people are saying to their friends. And so they base their worth and their self-worth. Remember that quote? Psychology Today, that contentment depends on how much self-worth we feel at the moment. That's how people are today. You know, and they base that self-worth on what everybody's saying about them. But what I'm saying is, get your worth in Christ. Realize how much, if He spared not His own Son, do you think you're worth something? If the Father didn't spare His Son, but gave His Son for you, and that Jesus went to the cross for you, yeah, we were worth it to Him. See, our true value and worth comes in Christ, not in other people. So be content and satisfied with your relationship in Christ, who you are in Christ. Now, in verse 24, for the third time, he says, or he emphasizes, to be content, to abide in our calling. Notice what he says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. So he says it in verse 17, he says it in verse 20, and now verse 24 again. He's emphasizing again, abide in the calling wherewith you've been called by Christ. Be content, in other words. To abide in that calling, it requires contentment. Would you agree? Contentment's not found in these verses. I realize that, but I think you get the point that if you don't have contentment in Christ and in your calling in Christ, if you don't have contentment in your identity in Christ, if you don't have contentment in your relationship with Christ, how are you going to abide in your calling in Christ? How am I going to abide as in the calling God's given me? There's been times I've struggled, and there's been times I've just thought, hey, Lord, can I do something else? I'm human just like you. Did you know that? How many times have you felt that way? In your job, in your assignment, as a mom, as a widow, or as an employer somewhere, or an employee, that you thought, God, can I just do something else? And many times I've wanted to do something else, but I have to come back to this finding contentment in Christ and abiding in the calling that He's given. So it means whatever it is I need to shore up, I need to shore up. Whatever it is I need to get right in my life, I need to get right. Whatever it is I need to change in my mindset, I need to change it, because this is my calling and I need to follow the calling with joy, with contentment, with satisfaction. So this last thought, question, that's conclusion. So whose opinion matters the most to you? Is it your own opinion, others' opinion, or God's? I want you to think about that as we conclude this message. I hope that with Paul, you will be able to say, like he said in Philippians, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to read these verses, Philippians 4:11-13. Philippians 4:11-13, then we're going to pray. Listen to what Paul said. And by the way, Paul wrote this when he was in prison. So it's not an easy place where he was at. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what we should be able to just confess tonight. I can do all things through Christ. So I can be content in what the assignment that He's given me, because He's going to give me strength for it. He's going to give me grace for it. What I have to do, I have to keep running to Him. I have to keep depending on Him. I have to find my identity in Him. I have to be content in the calling that He's given me. I have to be content in that relationship with Him. Let's find our contentment in Christ. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the truths of this passage, and Lord, the thoughts You've given to me and my study time, and I'm thankful for it, and very practical, valuable truths for me, and I trust that they'll be valuable and practical for everyone here tonight. And Lord, that You would help us to abide in the calling that You've given to us. And sometimes our calling is seasonal, sometimes it's permanent. But whatever it is at the time and what You've called us to do, Lord, help us to be faithful to do it. Help us to do it with joy. Help us to do it with gratitude, with contentment. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us. Thank You for giving us strength to do all things that You've called us to do. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.